Bhagavad Gita is this chapter 5, entitled Karma Yoga and Action in Krishna Consciousness, text number 14. Na karte dvam na karmani lokasya sijati prabho na karma phalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartate. Translation: the embodied spirit, master of the city of his body, does not create activities, nor does he induce people to act, nor does he create the fruits of action. All this is enacted by the modes of material action. Purport. The living entity, as will be explained in the seventh chapter, is one of the energies or natures of the Supreme Lord, but is distinct from matter, which is another nature, called inferior, of the Lord. Somehow, the superior nature, the living entity, has been in contact with material nature since time immemorial. The temporary body or material dwelling place which he obtains is the cause of varieties of activities and the resultant actions. Living in such a conditional atmosphere, one suffers the results of the activities of the body by identifying himself in ignorance with the body. It is ignorance acquired from time immemorial that is the cause of bodily suffering and distress. As soon as the living entity becomes aloof from the activities of the body, he becomes free from the reactions as well. As long as he's in the city of the body, he appears to be the master of it. But actually, he is neither its proprietor nor controller of his actions and reactions. He is simply in the midst of the material ocean, struggling for existence. The waves of the ocean are tossing him, and he has no control over them. His best solution is to get out of the water by transcendental Krishna consciousness. That alone will save him from all turmoil. Om Jnana Pinandasya Vrindana Salakya Shukchuryutam Natasmaya Sri Guru Vemaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhamichananda Sri Pedagadara Sri Vasa Guru Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Rama, Hare Rama. It is verses like this that inspired me to take sannyas. That kind of made me think, yes, we are not in control of anything, not even in... not even the city of our body. It is controlled by us as long as we are destined. In the scriptures it is stated that the number of breath that we have is predetermined. So people think that when they go running around the block jogging that they extend the duration of their life. But it's not true, because you breathe faster so your life becomes shorter. In this way, what shall we say? Little did we know. And when your time is up, finished, then suddenly the machine stops working, or the control over it is lost. I have sometimes had a little preview of what it's like to go through that when you are very ill and you cannot move like that. Or during fever, when in India you get these fevers that are very high, and then you say things that it's the body is, it's as if the body is saying it. As if you're not saying it. It's just you hear it, but you're not saying it. But you hear this voice and you realize it's my voice. But it's as if someone else is speaking. Such kind of experiences I have had. Whatever may be, prakrite kriyamanani gunakarmani sarvasa ahunkaravimudidma katami timanite. In this world, we are simply under the influence of the three modes of material nature. And everything is an intricate network of these modes of nature, and they make us do different things. Just like here, this restaurant is very suggestive. People step out of the bus and they look straight into the restaurant. and some of them will just get attracted, right? And before they know it, they have to follow their eyes. So I think, yes, I chose to eat here today. No, we didn't choose. We didn't choose. We were simply controlled. The eyes, they saw a material situation and responded to it, and before we knew it, we just followed. Like a hypnotized person who was just following the order according to the hypnosis. So in this way, we are hypnotized. Life is just all about hypnosis. We are just hypnotized by what's going on, and we think we are free, but actually simply hypnotized by the three modes of material nature. That's it. The three modes of material nature produces varieties of impulses for our senses, and we respond. So predictable. So predictable. And in this way. But because it is complex, it looks that we are making choices. But in reality, we are not. That is, again, Bhagavad Gita. So these are like philosophical ways of looking at life. And it helps to get philosophical in life, because in that way we are still tossed about by the waves, of course, but at least while we're being tossed about by the waves, we realize that it's not the all in all. We realize that it is not the main thing. And that we should keep the long-term goal in mind. Sveyam acharanam sada. Sreyas and prayas. Prayas is dealing with the situation of everyday life, and that in everyday life we are trying to arrange everything in such a way that it all works out so nice. Prayas. Sreyas is that we say, well, everyday life, it is what it is, right? Sometimes nice, sometimes not. But as long as we are as long as everything is on course for the long-term goal, then it's all right. So devotees are recommended to keep Sreyas, the ultimate goal of life, in the forefront of their mind. And in that way, they can endure so many things, somehow or other. And Sreyas means not only that we are looking at our own personal benefit. Prayas means we're looking for immediate benefit. Sreyas doesn't mean just looking for our own personal long-term benefit, but Sreyas means for the ultimate benefit. So actually, our personal benefit is not the main concern. The benefit of Krishna is really Sreyas. So whatever is for the benefit of Krishna, that is also for our benefit. So therefore we put the interest of Krishna before anything else and say, alright, if it is good for Krishna, then it's good for me. Right? Whether I like it or not, that's secondary. But if it's good for Krishna, then it's good for me. That is our motto. We can put that on a t-shirt. Right? Whatever is good for Krishna, that's good for me. Good enough for me. Right? It's a fact that in this way we can live, and when, just like in the Bhagavatam lecture, we saw the description of Maharaj Pariksit. He's cursed by a Brahmana boy to die within 7 days, and he took it all auspicious. He said, just see that the Supreme Lord is making this arrangement, that I'm cursed by this Brahmana boy, because I'm so attached to my kingdom that I needed something to cut me loose from this attachment. But nothing would have done it. But this Brahmana boy cursed me that I would die by the bite of a snake. Naturally, I'm afraid of snakes. Who is not? So, out of fear now, I have given up my attachment. See how the Lord arranged it. So nicely, so graciously, so kind. That was the verse that we were speaking about this morning. And it is nice because it just shows how Maharaj Pariksit saw the interest of the Lord. That the Lord is simply interested in bringing his devotee back to Godhead. in bringing everybody back to Godhead, and how somehow or other he arranges everything for that, and how we arrange everything for that, and when we fail to arrange things for that, that then the Supreme Lord arranges it for us, right? And then we can appreciate that. And that's all Shreyas, all Shreyas, all long term. So in this way, we are living in this material body, in this material world. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote an essay called The Real and the Apparent Self. And he said, for so long, I have accepted all your demands as my own. And for so long, whatever you wanted, I supplied. For so long, I have surrendered to you and done everything you said. Right. Somehow or other, we have grown so together in our relationship that we have become almost like one person. And whatever you are asking from me, I am always surrendering. But now, from this day on, not anymore. I will no longer jump to your demands, my dear body. Right? No longer, right? Because I know very well, my dear body, that your demands are not my demands, because I am not you. I am an eternal spiritual being. I am eternal spirit soul. And as the eternal spirit soul, I have my eternal relationship with Krishna. And from this day on, my dear body and mind, which is included, from this day on, I will only accept those demands of yours that are favorable for spiritual advancement. Well, this is a statement of the renounced order. There's no doubt about it. This is a statement of one who says everything for Krishna. Everything. When it comes to the scale and we balance how much for Krishna, how much for me, nothing for me, everything for Krishna. The renounced order of life. In other ashrams, we may weigh. Brahmacharya will say, "Well, but I'm not so advanced yet. I'm not a pure devotee yet, so I cannot be expected to just put everything on the Krishna side. It's not expected from me." Put something. Vihasta will have to weigh carefully because there are so many needs. Okay, put it on the Krishna side. Yeah, but take a little back. At least make sure the Krishna side is the heaviest of the two. Whatever you do as a grihastha is alright, but the Krishna side must always weigh more somehow or other. Otherwise we are in trouble. So in this way, everyone in his own way is progressing towards Shreyas, the ultimate goal. We see the description of the Bhakti Lata Beach, the seed from which the creeper of Bhakti is emerging. And it said that the creeper of Bhakti is growing up by the water of hearing and chanting. And that this creeper is not dependent on anything else. Unlike other creepers. Normally creepers, they grow on walls or on trees or whatever. But the creeper of Bhakti is growing by itself. In other words, devotional service is not depending on anything material. Devotional service is always depending on devotional service itself. It is devotional service that will give new life to devotional service. You cannot think, well, maybe I should move. Maybe I should move. I've been here too long, I've been here too long, it's time to move on. Bring out the banjo and just sing the song and goodbye. Then we drive off. Fine. There we go. And we start in a new situation. But that's all right. Many of us need to start a new situation from time to time. But not that we're going to be any more Krishna conscious. We start exactly on the same level of Krishna consciousness. Because material adjustments cannot make us more Krishna conscious. Only bhakti can create more bhakti. Bhakti comes from bhakti. And bhakti comes from nowhere else. One gets bhakti from bhakta. There is no other way to get bhakti. Bhakti begins with bhakta, and then with the instructions from the bhakta can our bhakti develop. And then from our bhakti comes more bhakti. And then still more bhakti, and more and more. So only through bhakti can we increase our bhakti. Therefore devotional kripa doesn't rest on anything else and just rises up and then and up and up and up and goes through all the layers of the universe, through the Vaikuntha regions, everywhere until it comes at the lotus feet of Krishna. There, our kripa is finding shelter at the feet of Krishna and finding shelter in the association of the devotees. Where the relationship amongst devotees are what we always thought they should be. Here in the material world it's not possible. Just like Srila Prabhupada in one letter wrote that, don't expect that ISKCON will be utopia. Right? It will not be. It is not possible. In this material world, utopia will never be reached. It never will be all perfect, all nice. In material relationships, as long as we are in the material world, it just won't work. It just won't work. Even between people who are very dear to each other, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Like a mother and a child, you know, like we have there a prototype. Right? We have a prototype of mother and child right here in the room. And now we can take the experiment and we can give this child to another lady. Okay? And as soon as we do, we have already done this experiment many times now this week, without fail. Okay? The other lady is very happy, but unfortunately not the child. Okay? The child immediately starts crying. Okay? And nothing, no one can satisfy except one. Okay? So how intimate is the relationship? We have actually two mothers and two children. I'm just looking that side. Now I'm seeing another one over there. They're everywhere. Anyway, mothers and children have very intimate connection. But even between mother and child, so many misunderstandings. Right? Although they're so close. And then these children, they get very angry that this stupid mother doesn't understand what they want. They cry, basically like cry because the mother is just so stupid that she doesn't know what the child wants, right? Because you are my surrendered servant, right? After all, is what the child thinks, and you have to 100% fulfill my desires without fail, right? Whenever I want them. And even that goes on when they grow up. I was seeing a whole group of American kids on a tour, and they were on Spain in the airport, and one boy had bought a Spanish sombrero, and he was lying on three seats on the airport like a wet rag, you know, teenager boy, totally like, you know, the type of boy, like, you know, bum. But and then they were giving out donuts, which is like, of course, in America, a donut is like the perfection of life, right? I mean, it's like a donut. So he opened his eyes and he yelled out, "Mom, keep my donut!" You know, anybody, a normal person would have said, I mean, you know, who are you speaking to, you know, to your dog or what, you know? But not Mom. Mom said, yes, darling. Yes, amazing. Just absolutely amazing. Anyway, so, but even in those relationships between mother and child, it breaks down in communication. So, even there, there is frustration, misunderstanding. So this is the material world. But in the spiritual world, once we've come to the shelter of Krishna, then it is just amazing. It is amazing how in the spiritual world the Vaishnavas are experiencing loving relationships. Some Vaishnavas even experience it in this world. Those are the ones that are internally in the spiritual world. They are the Antaranga Bhaktas, or those devotees who are on the platform of being in the material world, but internally actually serving Krishna in the spiritual sky. So, Shreyas, we keep the long-term goal in mind and accept the waves of the material world and let them come. I have also seen it many times. Years ago, I was in meetings with Harikesh Prabhu, and in one meeting, he was sitting like... He was obviously not so inspired, and he was letting us know. And I couldn't understand it at the time. But nowadays I can. Now I can. Now I also sometimes feel like taking that same yoga asana that he took. It's the meeting asana. It is an asana that we take when we know that this is the material world and that you can't fix the material world. There's always a few loose screws in the material world. But anyway, I'll have to say that in English. I have a great expression in Dutch, but unfortunately...
Slightly Dutch.
No, even that in Sweden they wouldn't catch, you know. And kniesoor.
Kniesoor.
And kniesoor. Yeah. Kniezen. You know what kniezen is? No, you don't know kniezen.
That means to giggle.
No. You're just guessing by the sound.
Bubble. That's...
A kniesoor is someone... I guess you know the Smurfs, right? Everyone knows the Smurfs. Those little blue men with the white head. And there's different Smurfs, and there's one Smurf who doesn't Smurf. Right? You know that Smurf? He doesn't Smurf at all. He doesn't Smurf anything. Right? No, he doesn't Smurf. Right? So that's more or less a kisor. He doesn't Smurf. Right?
What can I say?
So what to do? In this movement, we have to Smurf. Right? If you don't Smurf, it's not going to work in Krishna consciousness. It's like... It's one of the keys to spiritual life. You have to Smurf. You have to, somehow or other, for those who don't know the Smurfs, because I español no sé, que es la tradición. But in those who don't know the Smurfs, basically, we have to get into it. We have to appreciate. We have to appreciate. So one of the things we have to learn is to appreciate in the Vaishnav community. It is an important thing to... Therefore, in some temples we have this practice once a year. In Radhadesh we have it. In India we also did it sometimes. But in Radhadesh they make it a real culture on New Year's Eve. Yeah? They have a get-together. And what they do is... Everyone gets glorified. And it's no joke. And it's like they all start to speak about the glories of someone. So the whole assembly, and it's like we take Bhaktanidhi and we like to say some things in his for his glorification, and I say that I appreciate him for his gentle root and his nice kirtans, like that I can say. And then some of the tapas says, oh, I also want to say something. And everybody who can say something will say something. And this thing doesn't end, you know. It goes on and on and on. And it's just like, God, come in there cold, you know. Whoa, this is a marathon. This is no longer ordinary. This is like extreme. How long is this going to go on for? They have a little entertainment in between. You know? Someone sings a song, someone does a dance, and like that, to kind of make breaks. But basically, everyone gets glorified. And they do it for purification in the community. And it works, actually. It works. This glorification. Glorification is the spirit of the spiritual world. Always glorifying each other. Always. It's just the opposite from where we are. Right? Always finding something. Yeah. Something is there. It's all right. It's very nice. But yeah. So in the spiritual world, there is no but. Everyone smurfs. Everyone goes along with it. That's the spiritual world. Everyone is. Because Sankirtan is the process, constant glorification. And this is also basically our. In the spiritual world, they just eternally fill their time with that, with glorification. There's no. And criticism doesn't really exist. Some people they glorify in a criticizing way. That may also be. But that is actual glorification. If you just like you see how between Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya they have these exchanges, you know, and the two they have a real ras, you know, and Lord Advaita Acharya is calling Lord Nityananda. He's saying that, who is this Nityananda? First of all, he had invited Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda for prasadam, and he had arranged so much prasadam. And then Lord Chaitanya was saying it was too much. Lord Nityananda was saying, is that all? Is that all? We get invited by this miserly Brahmana here today. Yeah? And we know, yes, we will have to go hungry. Yeah? And then Advaita Acharya responds and said, who are you? You reject Paramahansa? Who do you think you are? And what is your caste anyway? What is your position anyway? Nobody knows where you come from. Nobody knows exactly what your ashram is. And you are here simply to harass and give trouble to the Brahmanas. Right? Nityananda becomes angry, throws rice at the body of Advaita Acharya, who then gets touched by the rice and jumps up in ecstasy that he has been touched by the rice of Lord Nityananda. So they always do this with each other, not only on one occasion, but they keep on doing it again and again. And there are mentioned later on, they are in Jagannath Puri, and then the devotees, they go and take bath in a big pond, a lake near the Gurudicha temple called Indrajumna Sarovar. And there, in Indrajumna Sarovar, they start water fights. And different devotees, they're all older, right? But, you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, very respected, but he's there like a kid. And there's Advaita Acharya, gray hair and beard and everything. And of course, his opponent is Nityananda. And Nityananda in the water is mean, right? Nityananda in the water is something else. And Nityananda has even jumped in the Ganga and beat up the crocodiles. Not a small feat, he's well known for that. So don't mess with Nityananda. If he can beat up crocodiles, what's your chance? So Advaita Acharya has no chance. And therefore, then, and Nityananda each time, very expertly, shoots the water straight in his eyes. So then he starts cursing him, you know, like this Nityananda is misbehaving with an elderly man and all these kind of things. Right? Suddenly he begins to remember his old age and all this. So sometimes they call each other names and blaspheme each other, but that is play. That is different. It's never serious. It's never that a Nitya Chinese thing. This Nitya Panda, he is such a Nitya Panda hunter. You cannot believe it, you know, what he is doing. And he's always misbehaving with me and splashing water in my eyes. No, that doesn't exist in the spiritual world. It doesn't. It doesn't exist. What can I say? We are only watering our bhakti creeper. I don't think that any of us can claim that our bhakti creeper has grown through the layers of the universe, past the Vaikuntha planets, and has reached the lotus feet of Krishna. I wouldn't say that about my bhakti creeper. I've never had green fingers, and when it comes to plants, right, I've always found it difficult. And my bhakti creeper is, well, it's just like the first plant that they gave us in school. You know, I don't know how it is in Sweden, but in Holland, there is one time in the year when every school gets a hyacinth bulb from school. And they give you this little hyacinth bulb, and you have to take it home, and you have to water the thing, and then when it's flowering, you have to bring it back to school, and then they give out prizes. And mine, of course, you know, mine was always like growing in one direction. You know? It was never straight. Right? And of course, it was always growing towards the light, right? The thing. And then it started to hang over. And then I turned it around. That's what they said you had to do. Didn't work. Right? And then it would start leaning to the other side. But I never get it straight. Okay. So it's the same with my bhakti creeper. It's also always leaning too much one way or the other. But anyway, somehow or other, although we can not support our bhakti creeper with anything material, still there is one way that we can support our bhakti creeper. And that is explained by Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami in the verse Durgame Patime Indasya Skala Padakatir Muhu Yet Kripa Srustitam Nena Santasantavalam Manam. That my feet are slipping again and again on the path, but by the stick of the mercy of the Vaishnavas for my support, I can carry on. So somehow or other, this bhakti creeper of mine is held up by the stick of the Vaishnavas, especially by the very straight stick of my spiritual master Sripad Jayadvaita Swami Maharaj, who is very kind to me, you know? And what shall I say? He is a great saint. He is first class in all respects, a first class person. He is truly an acharya, always acting as a teacher by example. So, by nature I am crooked, but somehow or other, by following him, although I have the tendency to grow off in the wrong direction, I sort of stay straight. So this is our process. We are serving our spiritual masters. And we have Srila Prabhupada as the example in all respects. And then we have Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. What a personality. What a principled person. Totally principled. Not ever thinking, oh well, you know, what can you do? No, not once. always principles. Always. Just remember how he ate a mango when he was a child, and then his father came. He was a small boy. And his father comes and says, chastises him for eating the mango because it wasn't offered. And he just felt so terrible. And he just swore right there as a child, I am such an offender. I will never ever again eat a mango in my life. And he did it. And took a vow as a child and just kept it throughout his life. What a principled person. And they brought him baskets of mango. And he simply said, no. No, I cannot take. I am an offender. He would, throughout his life, not hide it. No, he would, throughout his life, no, I am an offender. I cannot take. So, what a personality. So, we look at our acharyas as our source of inspiration, as beacons in darkness, as shining lights on the path as to what we should do. They did, then we should do. Then we should. And we look, but if for us the renunciation of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur goes beyond our capacity, and if we are looking at Gaura Kasaradas Babaji the same, then we can see Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who lived in the world and yet walked the path of pure devotional service in the world. In this way, we can look at all of our acharyas. As Tapas Prabhu reminded us in Eddie and Manuela's apartment, Tathara Chandra Siva Bhakta Sanavas, Chandra Chandra Mahai, Eyabi Vas, that these Vaishnavas, Echai Gosai Prabhu Mur, Vuitara Das, these six Goswamis, I am their servant. And it is stated by Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami that without the mercy of the six Goswamis, no, we cannot make it. So there's a lot of work to do. We have to not only find out more about Krishna, who is Krishna, no, not just that. We have to find out about all the acharyas. Who are all these acharyas? Who were they? What did they do? How did they live? How did they act? How did they do it? We have to study their lives, hear about them. There are books written about them. For example, Narottam Vilas, right? About Narottam Das Thakur. Oh, we must read. We must know about Narottam, without a doubt. Narottam Vilas, we must know that. Who is this Narottam? Narottam, amazing personality. Amazing. Such a devotee. And Narottam appeared late. Narottam appeared after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just left the planet. Can you imagine? What a situation. And still, some of the associates of Mahaprabhu were present on the planet. But Narottam missed many. Even when he tried to meet them, they left. What a situation. Narottam was thinking to jump in the Padma River, which was this branch of the Ganga in Bangladesh. But it is said that Narottam had such an intense meditation on the Supreme Lord. And when he jumped in the Padma River, realizing that it was the Ganga which came from the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, he became so overwhelmed by love of God and so deeply absorbed in attachment to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that his body changed color. And when Narottam came out of the river, his body, which was otherwise blackish-bluish, now had turned golden. And his family didn't even recognize him anymore. Narottam. Looks like Narottam, but it's not Narottam. Oh, I am Narottam. Like this, how amazing. How amazing what is described amongst the Vaishnavas. And Narottam Das Thakur in his ecstatic love of God, had a great dream. Lord Chaitanya appeared in a dream with the entire Panchatattva, and Lord Chaitanya instructed him. First there was an ecstatic kirtan, and Narottam got swept up in that kirtan in his dream and reached the greatest heights of ecstasy and swooned and fell in ecstasy to the ground. In ecstasy he rolled on the ground, and then Lord Chaitanya picked him up and embraced him and said, "My dear Narottam, go to Vrindavan. There you will attain all success." And Narottam became overwhelmed by ecstasy of being embraced by Lord Chaitanya, and again in ecstasy fell on the ground, and Lord Nityananda came forward, picked him up, embraced him, and said, "My dear Narottam, go to Vrindavan, and there all good fortune will be attained." And Narottam, his ecstasy knew no bounds, and his heart leaped up in the air, and his body followed, and in ecstasy he crashed on the ground. And Advaitacharya stepped forward and picked him up and embraced him and said, "Narottam, go to Vrindavan, and there all good fortune will be attained." And in this way, all the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embraced him and told him to go to Vrindavan. So when Narottam woke up, he thought, maybe the Lord wants me to go to Vrindavan, or something like that. He got the message, he got the point, so he left for Vrindavan. And when Narottam went to Vrindavan, Narottam, on the way, met so many wonderful people. And these people, living in different villages, they were so ecstatic to see such a devotee. And they said, "You should come and stay in my house." And they fought with each other. Said, "No, why would you stay in your house? I should stay in my house." Said, no, you should stay in my house because I'm a brahmana." So, no, but he's a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they are in the mood of saving the most fallen. I'm a sudra, so he should stay in my house. No, but my house is bigger than others' house, so he should stay in the biggest house. No, he's only a humble devotee. He feels more at home in a simple dwelling. He should stay in my house. Everyone had arguments why you should stay. So finally, Narottam stayed in somebody's house, and in the morning, everyone would assemble, and they had these discussions about Krishna, which were so ecstatic, everyone hoped they would never end. And then it was time, and Narottam said, "I have to go. I have to go to Vrindavan." And the villagers said, "No, you cannot go. You cannot go. We are too much attached to you. If you go, we will die. Don't think we're joking. We will not be able to bear the separation." And Narottam said, "I understand. I understand exactly how you feel, because I feel that our appreciation for each other as devotees has grown so deep that I cannot go. I will also just not be able to bear the separation. But what can I do? What can I do? I must go because I have the order of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Lord of Advaita Acharya, and of all the other associates of the Lord to go to Vrindavan. What can I do?" So then Narottam leaves, and the people just follow him to the edge of the village, and then he says, "Now I must carry on alone." And they stand there and just watch till he disappears into the distance. And they see him no more. Some excerpts from the Narottam Vilas. We must know, we must drink, we must pivata Bhagavatam Rasamalayam. We must drink the Bhagavatam. This is also Bhagavatam. The book Bhagavat and the person Bhagavat. So in this way, these lifetimes of the devotees of the Lord who are living according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, they are known as Mahabhagavats, and we must read these descriptions about all these Mahabhagavats so that we can actually gradually become transformed. It is by reading about such personalities that we change, that we ourselves, that it begins to touch our heart. See, By philosophy, we will not change. The philosophy will tell us how we have to act in a certain way, but our stubborn self is thinking, yes, I know I'm supposed to surrender, but it's so difficult, I just can't do it. I'm trying, but I cannot. So by philosophy, we will not do it. We will not do it. But when our heart becomes touched, when our heart becomes touched by a Vaishnava, well, then when we see the amazing qualities in a Vaishnava or the generosity of a Vaishnava, then we become purchased, and then we will do it. Then we will somehow say, all right, okay, then I will do it. It's on the strength of this that we are doing. And then everything becomes possible. And then we become transformed. It's when the heart is touched. That is actually how it works. So therefore, this receiving spiritual instruction is not just a matter of repeating the book. Otherwise, what do we need the person for? Right? Because the book is better, because the person's memory is faulty. It's faulty. Yeah. He makes mistakes in what he remembers. Hmm? Yes. Yes. So better than read the book, and you get the better story, or you get the better verse. Yes. No. Because with the person, we get the qualities that move us. Like that story about Narada just now. It's something. It is something else. It is not of this world, that story. There is some really Vaishnava exchanges, and it's enlightening. And in this way, we want to hear about all our gurus. Because we do not have one guru. Vande gurun isa bhakta to do. So much to find out. So much nectar to drink. Bibhata bhagavatam rasa. Because by this drinking of the nectar, that is where we'll get this higher taste. That is where our heart will just become transformed in just, and inspiration will just emerge. And on the strength of inspiration, our bhakti kripa will grow, because of the strength of inspiration, we can do amazing things. We can fly, we can jump, we can do anything on the strength of inspiration. We see that the gopis, they are so inspired, sleeping, like no time to sleep, too inspired to sleep, too inspired about Krishna to sleep. We cannot imitate. One night, very little sleep. Ooh, very tired. Two nights, very little sleep. Fried. Three nights, ready for the lunatic asylum. Right? Bring a kurta with extra long sleeves. That's what will happen. We need, and we have many arguments for it. Right? People are asking me, "What is your diet?" You know, "What is your diet?" And I'm thinking, "Yeah, what is my diet?" And then I read that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur just cooked rice once a day and just ate rice once a day. And I'm thinking, what is my diet? Rice once a day. Yeah? I'm thinking, maybe that should be my diet. Yeah? I'm thinking, sick and tired of all this stuff. I should just, Mahajaniyani Katasa Panta, I should just eat only rice once a day. But then, you know, what about the vitamins? What about the minerals? What about all this? If you just eat rice, you will miss so many minerals. Anyway, then how did Srila Bhakti Siddhanta survive? Namo Brahmani Devai Go Brahmani Tai Charles Agati Tai Krishna Go Dai Maha. He simply survived on grain. He simply survived on the mercy of Krishna, not on rice. We don't need vitamins. Who says you need vitamins? Your mother. Yes. But you don't need vitamins. All you need is pure bhakti, right? Is Krishna praying? When we have Krishna praying, who cares about vitamins? Krishna praying is better than vitamins. It transcends all those things because we tap right into the unlimited reservoir of energy. Akila Rasamrita Murti, Krishna. He is the one who is the original source of all varieties of energies and flavors and tastes. The Supreme Lord, Shakti, Vidaya, Shri. So, with that, we are thinking about Krishna and about dedicating our life to Krishna. And we find out more about Krishna. Oh, yes. Chapter 25, Nectar of Devotion, Qualities of Krishna. Wow. And the next chapters, Qualities of Sri Krishna, further explained. A few Nectar chapters. Can read them every day. Right? A great vow, 1 month just reading every day the qualities of Krishna. Whew. After that month, wow, you feel you've come a little closer to Krishna. Want to try? Why not? Welcome. Yes, it can be done. Simple things like that. Right? So many ways, so many things to do. Where will be the time? Where will be the energy? Oh. But even if we do only a fraction of all these things that we could do, all these nectar things, then even that is very nice. Even that. And we can perform dramas. And we can perform these dramas more and more like an art. We see in traditional India, everything is very patiently practiced. There is a drama, and the drama has to have certain elements in it. It has a particular type of introduction of the theme. Then, okay, there's dance, and in the dance there are expressions, and everything counts, right? Finger movements, eye movements, everything counts, everything has meaning. So much culture. Palanquins to carry the deities, and the carriers, in South India, there are families that are their only business is to carry palanquins. That's their profession. Carrying palanquins for deities. And they have steps, different steps, for different palanquins. They have a horse palanquin, and they're all walking like horses. An elephant palanquin, they all walk like the elephant. And like this, so many steps, so much culture, so many things we can learn. We can do Rangoli, then ladies can learn to make designs with colors and rice flour on the floor. Very, very beautiful and very auspicious in front of Prabhupada's Vyasa Sana, or here on the altar in front of the deities. Such things can be made. And all that adds to our offerings, to our ecstasy, you know, because all these are the activities of the spiritual world. And in that way, one day, it's not necessary that we have to wait till the day we die and then we went back to Godhead, the end of the story. No, it can also be that one day, while we are so busy in serving Krishna in so many ways that one day we just get so much absorbed in all these things that we just forget that we're in the material world. And that can be the chapter in your biography. Today he forgot that he was in the material world. Chapter, well, maybe chapter 69 or something. It's probably not one of the first chapters. But the day he forgot, he or she, nowadays, he slash she, the day he slash she forgot that he was in the material world. It can happen like that. We can already now become jiva mukta, already now become residents of the spiritual world. And if we become very, very enthusiastic, we can do it in one jump. Remember this, the old story of the Brahmana and the cobbler. Narada Muni comes, there's the Brahmana and the cobbler, Narada, and they both ask, Narada, where are you going? To the spiritual world. Oh, could you, if you're there, ask the Supreme Lord how long it will take before we can go there? No worries. Yes, he went there and he asked the Lord, and the Lord said, fine, tell them, before you answer their question, ask them what I was doing. And when they ask, tell them that I was pulling an elephant through the eye of. Okay, he did, went to the Brahmana, went to the Prabhupada to ask the question. Elephant through the eye of the needle. Come on. Can't be. That's impossible. It's like against the laws of nature. Any intelligent man can understand that
the eye of the needle is small, the elephant is a little bigger. It's not going to fit.
You can't fool me. That can't be true. How many more lives? Oh, 10 lives or something. Then coming to the cobbler. Yes. Elephant through the eye of a needle. The Lord was doing that. Yes, why not? The Lord is so amazing. My Lord, he can do anything. He can put a whole tree within a little seed. They were sitting under a banyan tree. He puts a tree in a little seed, and this tree has so many seeds. So many seeds there are, and each one contains a new tree. That is my Lord. If he can put a tree in a seed, then why he cannot put an elephant through the eye of a needle? So he accepted it, with logic also, and then, how many more lifetimes? Oh, millions of lifetimes. But the Brahmana when he heard 10 lifetimes was not happy. When the cobbler heard a million lifetimes, he jumped in ecstasy. In another variety of the story, actually, it is as many lifetimes as there are leaves on the tree. And then he jumps in ecstasy, begins to dance, and then all the leaves fall from the tree. And he's already there. So, can we also, if we take one huge jump right now, we can be there in one jump in the spiritual world. We take this enormous jump in our Krishna consciousness, and then we don't have to wait till chapter 69. Then in this very chapter of our biography, we can already be in the spiritual world today itself. So it's so much optimism. I don't think I can take it any further than that. I think I've taken it to the limit today. Beyond the limit. So I have to stop here. And if there are any questions.
What is the actual qualification to go back to God? Or is it just to chant six the
Uh-huh.
What
is the qualification for going back to Godhead? 16 rounds and 4 regulative principles, or should we also develop some qualities? Unless we are pure devotees of the Lord, our can we enter into the spiritual world? In the spiritual world, there's no room for people who are envious.
You can't have that. Yeah, this Radharani. Krishna's always fucking with Radharani. She's not that beautiful. Actually, if you really look, I think she's a bit overweight, just me. No wonder everyone's feeding her all day. Yeah. I mean, we can't blame the poor child, But she's so popular, So it's like it begins to show after a while, isn't it? That cannot be there in the spiritual world. No room for that at all. No. Not even the slightest reservation in the heart. Oh God, not again, Radharani. No. Just even Chandravali, when there's a big competition with Krishna for the attention of Krishna, Chandravali is the competitor. But in the end, when Radharani wins, then even Chandravali is happy. Even she's happy. Because Krishna is happy. When Krishna sees, when Chandravali sees how Krishna is just effulgent with love, then she melts. So, qualities, shoo, not a trace of envy. Lust, no room for lust, Some coward boy, Radharani walks by. Italian coward boy, nothing like that. No whistling at the girls. Not ever desiring one of Krishna's girlfriends. No. So all these things are like everything we have in this world cannot carry that there. So it has to go. So qualities, yes. We need extraordinary qualities. We need the qualities of a Vaishnava. What a transformation. But the main ingredient in the mix, just as like when you bake a cake, you have to put certain ingredients to make the cake. So the main ingredients in this transcendental cake mix, chanting Hare Krishna, if it's not there, not going to work. Four regulative principles, not there, it's not going to work. But then, unless you get the mercy of the Vaishnavas in there, your cake's going to be a flop. Your cake of bhakti is just, it's going to rise and rise and rise, and it's just going to collapse in the oven or anytime you take it out. You know how it is with cakes. Try one of those turbans or something, those high ones, half of the time they collapse. So on spiritual life surely will not be brought to a success without the mercy of the Vaishnavas. That's it. And when that ingredient is there, then the qualities follow automatically. But we must seek out that mercy. Like anything. We must take shelter of it. So it's not just that, yes, give me the mercy. I mean, we've seen kirtans where they raised the Vaishnava and they just pulled his sock off his feet and ran away with it. Yeah? That's not the way. It's, aha, I scored, I got the mercy. Yes, but that's not the most potent mercy. But it's from his feet. Or with his much more potent mercy. Directly from his heart.
Yeah? So we have to have the potent mercy from his heart that he gives, that he pours upon us. Yeah? Because we have purchased it with our service attitude. So with an extraordinary service attitude, then we just get the mercy from his heart, whatever comes out. So we have to just in this way get the mercy. Right? We cannot, if we try to steal it by force, what we'll get is something, but not so much. But the real thing we'll get by the service attitude. It comes from his heart. And then, without a doubt, we'll develop all good qualities. And then if there's a slight trace of impurity, oh well, then watch your time then again. If he wants to make an adjustment for us, purify it, spiritual. Or take your birth in another universe somewhere. Krishna's having his pastimes, and you can just join in the pastimes of Krishna. Krishna will make arrangements. But this ingredient of the mercy of the Vaishnavas, we need by serving them and by taking shelter of them. And when we get mercy, we must take that mercy and make it and not just, okay, thanks for the mercy. Okay. I mean, you know, that was really nice. You have more mercy. Still want more mercy. No. Take that mercy that we received and take that mercy and treat it as the greatest treasure. Not from, we get the mercy of the Vaishnavas. We have one room in our house and there we keep it, you know, there are all the old socks and the shoes and the walking stick, and we have also, we have 3 kurtas and we have a personal book of the Vaishnava, which he underlined in different places. We have that also. This is his last toothbrush and what's not. That's all very nice. And those things are powerful too, but still, there is much more powerful mercy than that. And each thing is a treasure, and we keep it, and we just take full advantage of it. Then, all the lights are on green on the way back to God.
Important are those things from material and spiritual point of view?
Which things?
It's like when you collect this kind of mercy.
Those things, the things that are used by a spiritually advanced personality are surcharged with transcendental energy and are purifying us, and they're important, and we should keep them as great valuables. Still greater though is the mercy of Vaishnava is bestowing upon us by revealing to us intimate instructions how to act and how to deal in spiritual life after we served him, and then we act according to those instructions, and then still more come. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the narration where Kali is in the kingdom of Maharaj Pariksit, at that time, Kali needs a place to live, because he has fallen at the feet and he acted as a kshatriya, but he dressed like a kshatriya, but he didn't act like one, and begs for his life. So, okay, Maharaj Pariksit is not going to kill some guy that's squirming on the ground, who's not even fighting. So therefore, he is saying, all right, you can live. Right, well, where can I live? Where can I live? You are not in my kingdom, but where your kingdom is the whole world. So where will I go? Okay, you can live in four places. Where there's Panam, Jutam, Striyam, and Sunam. Panam, Jutam, Sunam, Striyam. And these are the four illicit activities. Meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex. That I mentioned in that one. And it says wherever these are present, Kali can live. And therefore Prabhupada said, we can't have Kali live anywhere. As long as we allow Kali to be present, then we are in trouble. Therefore, those four activities, and they are classified as adharma. It is said, chaturvida adharmas cha. There are four types of activities which are adharma, which are irreligion. And then they are listed as panam, jutam, striyam, sunam. So, these four activities of irreligion are opposed to devotional service, and that's why we follow, and that's the reference, first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
I was wondering about this gambling, the kshatriyas, they're gambling before, and I also wonder, they're going in the forest and hunt the rabbits and small animals.
Big ones too.
And it was like, I don't know, normal. But when this happening with Draupadi, when they pulled the sari, she was accusing them that they didn't offer the food, which was like common sense for them, for them to offer the food. But those guys who were there, in the, as I've heard, she accused them that you're not even offering the food, and
I don't remember that.
But I've heard in some lecture.
Maybe, but I don't remember that. In general response to what you say is, when we look at what the Kshatriyas and the Brahmanas in the Vedic culture were doing, that is Vedic culture. They were not on the path of pure devotional service. There is, in the Vedas, there are two paths, the Pravriti mark and the Nivriti mark. The Pravriti mark is the path of pious activity by which you are trying to become, trying to improve your conditions of life. The Nivriti mark is the path of getting out of the material world. So this movement is Nivriti mark. So, even the Brahmanas, they were doing, they're following all these high principles and this, that, and then they do sacrifices and eat flesh. Right? So, but on the path of getting out of the material world, we don't do all those things. Right? So, therefore we understand that the Mahabharata is not exactly a model for us. I mentioned also yesterday that the essence of the Mahabharata is the Bhagavad Gita. Because we are on the path of pure transcendental devotional service. So we don't go into the forest and hunt. But in Vedic times we see that this was still going on, and even the Vaishnava kings were acting in this way. It is said to, because they had to know how to kill as Kshatriyas. But, in this way, they also served the sages by keeping the forest free from dangerous wild animals. But, otherwise, in the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, no room for that. In the Vedic culture, you have to understand these Kshatriyas, they may have killed like that, but they were otherwise very controlled personalities. None of us possibly. In this age, we wouldn't keep the balance. But in the Sankirtan movement, that's out. So there's a difference between Vedic culture and Sankirtan movement. And we're following the Sankirtan movement. So even if you are of Kshatriya tendencies, no hunting in the forest. We've had some people who have been like that, you know, like that I'm a Kshatriya, you know, I sometimes drink. I'm a Kshatriya, I'll have more than one wife. You know, there was one of many wives. So we've heard all these things, but we are Vaishnava. So when we take these roles in Varnashram, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishnava, Sudra, then we don't identify with it so much. We are always Vaishnava, and we're acting out these roles externally, but internally, we're always Vaishnava. And therefore, we see also that everyone chants 16 rounds, not only the Brahmanas, everyone. Everyone is studying scripture. Even those who do Sudra work, they still study scripture. Most of us do Sudra work, you know, like some Sudra job or another in this age. But still, internally, we are doing all, we are on the platform of Vaishnava Brahmanas. So, our relationship with Varnashram is different than is in Vedic culture. So, no one again. Not even the lottery. One devotee in Australia got from his mother a lottery ticket. He said, "Mom, we don't do this. This is against our principle." She said, "Anyway, I bought it for you, and it's yours." So I was thinking, what am I going to do? I can't throw it away. You know, what if I win? What if I win and I've thrown it away? I'll never forgive myself. So he said, "Okay, I'll put it in my Bhagavad Gita, and if I win, I'll give all the money to Krishna." And he won $1 million. $1 million, and he gave it. And later in the junior school, initiated and called him Atma Niveda, the one who surrenders my body and soul to Krishna. Okay, not even like that. Mistakes. But the worst thing is when we are not following four Ayurveda principles. So then we must follow. And then we should try and worship nicely. But then we may be worshipping the deity for a long time, and then it can happen that a devotee, due to circumstances, get some difficulties, cannot follow everything, then should you, from that day, throw the deities out of the house? No, also not. Then you just beg forgiveness and carry on. But still, the purity is important. You worship Krishna. Otherwise you may not accept our worship. So worshipping deities must be done nicely. But not with a lot of anxiety. It should also be a happy affair. We do it nicely, but also happily. Susukam kartavaviyam, this devotional service is joyfully performed. So the deities must be worshipped nicely, strictly, and joyfully. And the home worship is always a little more simple than temple worship. Krishna was there. And therefore, in home worship especially, purity must be there. Yes? Sorry?
What place is Kali
Court
to reside there? But also he got a fifth place born.
Well, what happened was that Kali got the benediction of Maharaj Pariksit to reside in those four places where these four irreligious activities, meat, eating fish, eggs, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex was going on. But he couldn't find any such places. So he said to Maharaj Pariksit, but there are no such places in your entire kingdom. These activities are not going on. So where can I stay? I must stay somewhere. So then Maharaj Pariksit thought about it and said, okay, you can stay in places where gold is being stored. Because then these other activities will follow. So in this way. Therefore, we shouldn't store the gold, we should just put it out. And Srila Prabhupada just showed that. He didn't store it. And he just, in the beginning of his ISKCON days, he just invested all his money in books. And then the temple was just full with books, and no one knew how to distribute them. And Prabhupada said, well, distribute these books or starve. Of course, those were the days, because we couldn't try that nowadays. But then, it was like that. So, money should be used for Krishna. We should not hoard it, we should just use it for Krishna. And then more money will follow. And the more we get into this mood, we'll just use it very nicely for Krishna, the more Krishna will send. You always speak so soft that I cannot hear it.
Bhaktivinoda Maharaj was writing this book, The Beggar of the Court.
It is something?
The Beggar of the
Court. The Beggar, the Beggar.
This last book that you wrote.
Yeah.
So I think one thing that I could not quite understand, you would help me to explain. He was always absorbed so much in preaching.
Well, something like that is when one's heart is full of love for Krishna, when one is longing for Krishna, and one begins to see how everyone is anyway under Krishna's mercy. And one sees that actually this preaching is the activity of the Madhyama Adhikari. And when really everyone is getting the mercy of Krishna as it is, then we may leave preaching and just become deeply absorbed in our constitutional position and relish the nectar of being in the spiritual world eternally, knowing very well that everything in the material world is already perfectly arranged. Who thought that there was something wrong in the material world? Everything is perfect. We must have seen it like that. to about that much. Sleep on that till I come back. Eddie, it is 8:30 and you have had your quota.